It's here and now, and there's a lot of understandable attention today on Isla Vista, California, and the pain in that Santa Barbara neighborhood after a mentally ill young man killed six people and himself. There are questions being raised about the mental health system, the signs that might have been missed. Tremendously sad and concerning. But our next guest says there are blighted communities with whole swaths of young men who are mentally ill, loco they call it, and they are infecting, if you will, other young men, what gang members call locura, and there is no care for them at all. James Diego Vigil calls this locura a quasi-controlled insanity. He's professor emeritus of social ecology at the University of California, Irvine, and the author of Rainbow of Gangs, a cross-cultural study of street youth in Los Angeles. He joins us from KUCI in Irvine. And professor, we know the setup here. The kids you're talking about don't have good parenting. They get their socialization on the street through gangs. But take it further.
One of the things that precedes the street socialization is trauma and soul murder. The young kids have something happen to them. They may be physically punished or abused. They may be neglected. They may be left alone. That kind of trauma at a young age infuses their body with an overwhelming dose of adrenaline. And that, again, makes their mindset unsteady and geared towards surviving.
Well, look, we're reading some terrific books right now. On the Run, Alice Goffman, also Matt Taibbi, whose most recent book is about young black men in particular with this constant fear of being rearrested for small crimes that then become big ones if they don't pay fines. And when you read about these lifestyles, you think, wow, that would drive someone crazy. But you know the pushback. By calling gang life a mental illness, you excuse it, that it makes it something that needs to be treated rather than punished.
Well, we've had enough punishment, and we certainly haven't seen results. So I would say it's a mental illness of social stigma and isolation to the point where they are like always feeling that the world is against them. So it creates a mental state of locura. There's a difference, though, and the distinction I make is between someone who really has had so many traumatic experiences and early soul murder, where they really become loco. That's a mental illness. And then a lot of other kids that join the streets, they have to learn how to act that way. That's why I called it quasi-controlled insanity. Yeah. They know how to play, turn it on and turn it off. And that becomes a kind of a function for the gang, where you learn how to be loco. That's why they call it locura, you know, going back and forth. There's even more successful models within the Asian American street gangs, Vietnamese in particular, where they become, you know, Jekyll and Hyde type of characters. We've written about this in a book, Street Smart, School Smart. Some people are able to do the school work, and then at night they turn into the, Mr. Hyde character.
Yeah. Well, even when you use the word locura, as you've heard gang members use it, it would sound to some ears like bragging. You know, I'm crazy. I'm loco. Watch how crazy I am. And that fits into other narratives about gang members, that this violence stems from a failed transition from childhood to manhood for whatever reason. But it feels more like an overriding sense of manhood that's compensating for a real powerlessness. That's not mental illness.
Well, it is if you don't have a good male role model, or the only role model you might have out in the streets is somebody that's already gone maybe permanently crazy in our local actors instead of just doing local acts. So that is an element in terms of the psychosocial moratorium from childhood to adulthood and the status crisis about your identity as a person in general. And, of course, it's not an accident that a lot of these kids that grow up in households that are female-dominated, that when they go out to the streets, they have to adjust to a male world. So they go through some crazy types of acts to survive.
But it sounds like you're saying that while this might be culturally imposed, you know, people feeling paranoid, everybody thinks I'm a certain way, and then it might be a defense, as you practice it, it becomes real.
Exactly. And it becomes part of the social and psychological world of the streets. A lot of street people that are gang or even non-gang members that are street people talk about, you know, he's street, meaning the street has taken over, developed a different culture. And it's not anything to do with Mexican or African-American culture. It's something that's shaped and born in the streets.
Well, have you spoken to gang members about your theory? I'm wondering how they feel about a word that they might use as, you know, in bravado, I'm crazy. What do they think about the suggestion that they really might have mental health issues?
The only gang members that I've spoken to are former gang members that have matured out.
Did they agree that this was dancing on a real mental illness?
That they had to play that role. So they played loco and crazy, but as they reflected back on it, they realized that they got very close. In fact, they got deeply involved in some aggressive altercations and may have killed somebody or may have gotten shot at or stabbed themselves. So they wound up reflecting later on how crazy.
That's crazy.
The word crazy this, yeah.
Yeah. Well, then what do you suggest, Professor?
I think one of the problems we've had in the last almost a half a century now since the war on poverty, every year in Congress we still argue about whether or not we should fully fund Head Start when we know that Head Start and follow through after Head Start makes a difference. And I think we need a lot more prevention and intervention programs. And I think recently law enforcement is realizing they cannot nip in the bud something they didn't start. This is started by social, economic, and historical kinds of forces that have created these isolated barrios and low-income communities and street socialization. So I believe if we as a society really had what I would call a Marshall Plan for the inner city, something to deal with youth, that to me is the key. Not to wait till they're older and throw them in jail and now we'll show them who's boss. There's still a lot of naysayers that don't want any kind of coddling with lawbreakers, when in fact they're kids that are just doing mischievous things at a very young age. It isn't until they're older when they get into breaking laws and stepping over boundaries and affecting the rest of society.
James Diego Fajil, Professor Emeritus of Social Ecology at the University of California, Irvine, and author of Rainbow of Gangs, a Cross-Cultural Study, Street Youth in Los Angeles. Professor, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So your thoughts, a bunch of Huey, you know, excuse for behavior or a seriously overlooked social issue? Let us know at herenow.org. You can leave a comment with this story. You can follow us, let us know on Twitter. I'm at Here and Now, Robin.
I am at Jeremy Hobson, and the show is at Here and Now.
You're listening to Here and Now.